Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, January 29th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
Tim host. How are you doing, Bless?
Dude, I'm doing pretty good, man. Yeah? I feel like my morning routine is finally starting to get cemented because I now have my tea.
Yes. My Kevin got you tea. A little kettle.
Yeah, he got me a kettle. Back there. He got me like a whole box of different kinds of teas. Ooh, and so today
You got some herbals in there? Some Earl Grey's?
Got the passion tea. You got the Earl Grey's. Today I'm drinking English breakfast tea.
This should be a new segment of the show. What tea is blessed?
Dude,
drinking?
I'm totally down for that.
What's the tea?
Oh, that's great, actually. We're going to starting off with
there
that.
There we go.
It's all about, I put about three or four cubes of sugar.
Oh, three or four sugar cubes.
Yeah,
the day off right. You want to get going.
Man, I like it sweet. Okay. I like it dark. Yeah. I like it good.
Dark and sweet.
Yeah, man.
I'm all about that.
How's your morning been?
It's going really well. I'm, having a little PTSD dealing with the whole DC stuff going on. And by that, I mean we're forcing ourselves to watch the movies and then talk about them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys did like the 4-hour
When I stop and think about the fact that in the last really 7 days, maybe 8 days, I've had to watch Man of Steel, the Batman v Superman extended cut, and talk about each of those for longer than the duration of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to fall apart little by little, but Greg Miller, I feel stronger than ever.
So. I mean, hey, the movies only get better from here, you know?
Yeah.
I did like Suicide Squad more than Batman v Superman.
We got Suicide Squad review coming up on Monday, so let's see how this
goes. Stay tuned for that. Today's stories include, not Suicide Squad, but we are talking movie, Netflix. So we're talking about things sort of in that realm because Corey Barlog has some big dreams. We're also talking about diversity in the games industry and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. Now it's time for some housekeeping. We have our second 12-hour stream going
the
down
final
this
12-hour stream.
Friday. Tim, what can people expect from that
stream? Oh my God, shenanigans galore, bless. Now here's the deal. This is the final push for our January fundraising for the new Kinda Funny Studio, for Kinda Funny Games 4.0, for everything that we're doing. Every single new dollar made in January goes towards all these cool stuff, the thermometer. We're going to... during the stream, early on in the stream, debut the new set of thermometer goals, the new stuff that we're adding to kind of push. We have some fun stuff.
Oh, wow.
Some fun
stuff. Is there any chance
there.
We get like a taste of anything on there?
I'll give you a little taste.
A little taste?
A little taste for something that's up your alley.
Oh.
Maybe a little stream involving you and a little Barrett Courtney and a certain monkey that we might know.
I love me some Barrett Courtney and some monkeys.
So there
we'll
go.
Both
so we'll have to see how that goes.
But no, about what that can be.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be a long day. I do know we're going to end it with the Kinda Funny podcast.
Awesome.
And at that point, we will probably be sufficiently inebriated.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be a fun one.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a great one. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Muhammad. Today, we're brought to you by G.I. Joe, Warren Cobra, and Robin Hood, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Now, here's the thing. I've been seeing some comments about how I say time for some news, right? And here's the thing. I can't bring the same level of energy that Greg Miller brings. I want to see how long Kevin can keep doing this. But, I'm just going to bring my own flair to it. I can't be Greg Miller, and so I'm just going to say it's time for some news. Oh, wait. We have six stories today.
Baker's Dozen!
I totally bossed. I don't know if I said it's time for some news in the right place, but hey, here we are.
I'll go as long as you need me to go.
Love you, Kevin. Number one, Corey Barlog thinks God of War could lend itself to a Netflix series. This comes from Alessio Palumbo of WCCF Tech. Corey Barlog, the man behind God of War 2 and 2018's God of War reboot, thinks the God-killing saga could lend itself well for a Netflix-style TV series adaptation after other popular game IPs like Castlevania and The Witcher did so well recently. Now, this is a screenshot from Corey Barlog's Twitter, and this is like almost the Avengers of a news report right here, because you have a tweet from GamesIndustry.biz. They tweeted out, which other games IP lend themselves to a Netflix-style series, and they talk about how they discuss that on their GamesIndustry.biz podcast, right? Corey Barlog then takes that and quote tweets that and says, God of War, like all on three separate lines, right? He's really emphasizing it. He thinks God of War would lend itself great to a Netflix-style series. At least he thinks so, right? That he writes that in the tweet. Barlog was quick.
What's the hashtag there?
Oh, yeah, there's no hashtag.
Emojis.
Just
what emojis we got?
It's like the fist emoji, like, I don't know,
let's fucking go.
Power, yeah, power and the heart emoji, love. Mm. Power and love. Mm. Barlog was quick to clarify there's nothing in the works as of yet. It is currently just his wish. Quote, by the way, this is not a hint or anything. I just believe that games would make great TV shows because you spend so much time with the characters in fantastic worlds. Games like TV are relationships with the characters, where movies are more like a date. Both can be great. End quote.
That's true.
It's true.
See, I love this. I love this type of shoot your shot shit where Corey put this out into the world and chances are it's not going to happen. But there's more of a chance of it happening now than there was 2 days ago. You put this out there, people are interested. People are like, that is a good idea. Somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody is like, hey, I got a friend at Netflix. I should connect you with my other friend, Corey Barlog.
Yeah.
Right? And then next thing you know, God of War potentially being a thing. Witcher TV show. I can't believe it actually happened. And more than that, I can't believe people actually liked it.
Yeah. Did you like it? Because I know
I didn't watch it.
People had mixed feelings on it from what I could tell. Like, a lot of people really liked it, but then there are quite a few people that are like, this seems boring. Like, it's not my thing. I watched the first episode and I was like, I could see myself getting into it, but I didn't really feel compelled to keep watching it, which might say something.
We have the host of Kinda Funny's number one entertainment podcast here with us.
Oh,
Kevin,
wow.
What did you think of The Witcher?
I was utterly shocked at how much I enjoyed it. Was it like the best like show that I've seen this year? Not by a mile. Watchmen was probably the best show I've watched this year. But like, it did such a good job of being Monster of the Week and keeping me into the story. Good job. And if, like, they could do that with God of War, I'm all in.
Now, the thing with God of War, especially after the reboot, is I don't know if they can do that. I feel like God of War needs a sense of scale and, like, a grand narrative that I feel might be better served animated.
I can see that.
You know, you just, yeah. And especially
in terms of, like, the action sequences, for sure.
Yeah, and I feel like going back to the older school God of War games could be a bit more actually interesting. For this, of just like not necessarily Monster of the Week, but just seeing Kratos fuck shit up and just like have it be that like Hot Topic edgy style, but with animation, I think that could be really cool because Castlevania has kind of met somewhere in the middle. Like, I never finished the second season of Castlevania, but that's because I got distracted. I loved it though, both season one and season two was even better. I thought that they did a great job, like actually crafting a group of characters that I care about and making them do interesting things and having fight scenes that are very gruesome, but not in a way where it's like, oh, this is just doing this for attention, but like, oh, this fits the characters and I understand where they're going. I mean, they're fighting fucking demon shit.
Yeah.
What's up, Kev?
I just really quickly wanted to say, like, I really think that God of War as like the video games lend themselves where like to be made into a show where there is character growth, you know what I mean? Maybe the first three games are all squashed into one season where it's like this dude's journey. And even that could probably be, at the very least, two seasons, I say. And then the third is as it transitions into the new God of War games that we know and where the character has changed a lot.
Let me do you one better, okay? It's one season. Not directly adapting the God of War 2018 story, but like, and a medium accurate representation of it. So like make it so it's more TV show based, not video game based. But have that story. But throughout it, have the flashbacks of God of War 1-3. So it's like the stories are kind of interweaving. So maybe in one season that's way too much to do all of that. But maybe kind of like the first arc of the God of War reboot, that's what the season one is. But you are going back and getting kind of like the backstory of all the other Kratos.
See, I have kind of a mixture between what you're saying and what Kevin are saying. Like a vision for this, right? Where I think what you're saying as far as action and big set pieces lending themselves better to maybe more of an animated kind of thing, I think makes sense. And so the way I would do it is, I think God of War 1, 2, and 3, and Ascension, if you want to have that in there too, you know, maybe do that as like a prequel cartoon series and do God of War 2018 as more of a live action Netflix thing. Because I think God of War 2018's story kind of lends itself to character growth and like the slower moments and the more intimate moments in the way that God of War's 1-3 are more so like, hey, we're climbing this big god and we're gonna kill it, and that's kind of like the thrust of those stories, which I don't necessarily want like a grounded, like, you know, intimate look at God of War 1-3, even though those games have their intimate moments, right? Like Kratos having to like Kratos, I guess, blindly murdering his family and having their ashes, you know, be part of him. That's tragic, and that's like, that's a terrible thing, right? That could make for some heartbreaking TV. But at the same time, I think God of War 2018, in terms of tone and even like the cinematic presentation of it, I could see that lending itself well to a Netflix series. Barrett Courtney, what you got for me?
Y'all aren't getting creative enough. Kevin, really quick, The wall is off. Y'all aren't getting creative enough. This series should be I don't know if this was said already, the gap between 3 and the new one. Mm-hmm. We should see his journey of like going throughout these different lands of different religious beliefs and see him fall in love with the woman that we don't really get to meet in the new God of War. I think that there's a fascinating story that could be told.
That'd be pretty cool. Him like
there,
essentially
and
transitioning.
Like, it's not too attached to anything else to like they can tell a new and different story with that.
I can see that, right?
Like, I can't see that being good, though. That's the problem.
Really?
Yeah.
It could be like a Star Wars prequels kind of thing.
You got a small imagination then, Tim.
But I imagine it's one of those things where you're answering questions that maybe we didn't want the answer to.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing.
Like maybe like the answers they provide aren't necessarily up to snuff with kind of how we filled in the gaps ourselves from God of War 3 to God of War 2018.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like of course they could come up with something compelling, but I feel like that's not the stuff that makes God of War compelling, right?
Or I feel like those are the answers that I want. If they do give me those answers, I want them from the game, not necessarily from some other sort of like
medium.
Yeah, medium. Yeah. Like I feel like that would be a weird thing because those bits feel so central to the story of God of War and the plot of what's going on that like I feel like telling them in a movie or in a TV show as opposed to in the game might be a disservice to the game.
Yeah, this is also the thing. I'm just gonna get ahead of it. I don't want this.
You don't want a Netflix style God
not
of War
for God of War. I feel like God of War is a perfect example of a game that is so narrative based and so cinematic that let it be its own thing as a video game. Mm-hmm. Like that, it already kind of has. It's already close enough to being a movie that it's like, well, let's give something. Let it have its uniqueness as a video game, as something that's interactive.
Mm-hmm.
Take something that's a bit more like fluff. And turn that into a show, like Gary Whitta talking about Star Fox, an animated show. Yeah, I'm into that. I want like that makes sense to me because there's no consequence there.
Yeah, I feel like for God of War, I kind of want it. I want it more than I'd want Last of Us or an Uncharted movie. Like I don't really want an Uncharted movie because I feel like there's nothing you can really do for Uncharted as a show and franchise that really is gonna uplift the story more. Like Uncharted is pretty straightforward in terms of what it is, and it's basically just Indiana Jones. So if you make an Uncharted movie, it's probably just going to be Indiana Jones, right? Whereas God of War, I feel like they do a good job, especially in God of War 2018, in portraying this as more of a huge world or huge worlds, right? Because now we're in multiple mythologies, and they can explore like these smaller, intimate stories, right? God of War 2018 is about Atreus, Kratos, and the mother, and you know, this journey to the top of the mountain to fulfill this thing they're trying to fulfill, right? And that's like, that doesn't feel huge in any way, but because it's this smaller, more focused thing, it feels like a nice, complete story with this huge world surrounding it. And so I feel like they could, if they wanted to, they could just tell another one of Kratos' stories within this world or within the world of Greek mythology. Like, I feel like there are certain directions they can take it that would make it not feel like there are adding things just to add things, or they're just telling a story just to tell a story. Like, I feel like you can tell a purposeful story in that world that doesn't conflict with the main story of God of War, which I think could be cool.
Yeah. I just think it would be difficult because the things that make God of War special are all of that in addition to the characters that show up. I still don't want to spoil
But
like characters show up that are big deals throughout the storyline, and like characters that Kratos faces that keep coming back, or that are just one-off enemies and things. I feel like that's stuff that's more difficult to show than it is to play, right? And
for
I feel
sure.
like that's the beauty of video games, and that's what video games allow things like Last of Us, God of War, and Uncharted to do, even though they are so similar to movies and TV series in so many ways narratively. I think that you get that extra level because it's interactive, and that's why I think that with a lot of these shows it's hard to boil down like what the essence of the like story is, and like why does that need to be TV? Why should it be TV? You know, I feel like we see the same issue a lot with comic books being turned into movies, where you can't just do one for one. A lot of it needs to be one for one, or should be one for one. But you need to then add twists to make it better because it's a movie, because it's a TV show, or else you're just, why not just read the book?
Yeah.
You know?
That makes sense. Do you think we see this?
No.
No, I'm with you. I don't think we actually see this, because like, it's not Corey Barlog's decision, you know, at the end of the day, but it's up to PlayStation, because since they own the IP.
PlayStation Studios, though. Like, they want to start leading into doing that stuff. So.
But they wouldn't give it to Netflix, though. This is serious, right? Because their whole thing is they actually make movies, right?
Yeah, but who cares? You know, mm-hmm. Paramount makes movies. You know, like, all these, like, different distributors, like, they make movies, but they could end up on Netflix. Netflix, at this point, is just a distribution platform.
I would like to... See, PlayStation Studios, I've not built up the trust with them yet. And so, like, if
well, they don't exist yet.
They don't exist yet, right?
It's like, they currently exist. They're doing stuff behind the scenes. Anything that they've done previously, I don't count it as a representation of what their goals are. I'm not saying that I have any faith in this.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, if there was an announcement today that PlayStation Studios has greenlit a God of War series that is going to be, that they're going to put on Netflix, I don't know if I'd be excited or not. Just because, like, it's one of those things where, you know, PlayStation Studios still doesn't sound like a real thing to me, right? And, like, I know, like, it's confirmed, like, they're working on it. They have big names on it. But at the same time, PlayStation Studios, just, like, the name of it, I'm like, man, there's such a reputation for video game products or video game movies, video game adaptations, yeah, that, you know, It's hard to really get behind. And Witcher, of course, is like has come through and it's been successful. But
I mean, dude, again, I not to repeat myself, but it's like Witcher is an anomaly. Like, I can't believe it. We got a Witcher TV show that, again, was good with Henry Cavill. It's like there's so many elements of that I feel like 4 years ago, and I'm not saying that, like, I can't believe it's good because of him. I can't believe he's part of it. Like, that is Superman. Is the star of this video game TV show. Like, that's...
And that's the... Like, I think he's really good in it. Like, that's crazy. At first, it was like, oh, I don't really care about this character. But at the end, I was like, he's got rules that I like.
Yeah.
You know?
Going back to one of the first videos, kind of funny, ever made after we left IGN, there was rumors of a Zelda animated series coming to Netflix.
Yeah.
And we did, like, a reaction video of us talking about that and what that could look like.
Henry Cavill for Link.
Let's fucking go.
Could you imagine?
But it's just like, of course that didn't happen, right? And it's like, I feel like these type of news story or these type of things, like, they come and they go, and it's just, that's why it's such a surprise to me that Witcher actually happened. You know? But we're also in a different world now with Netflix and with how things are made and how partnerships happen and licensing and stuff. So,
last question: Who would you want to play Kratos if they greenlit it?
Shit, I don't know, man. Pitbull.
Oh my god, Dale. Idris Elba.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, I don't know if he's the perfect pick, but
no,
he could work.
Good though.
Yeah, Idris Elba's a great actor, and I feel like he could play that gruff, like, emotionless or like shut down, tough character. I feel like he could pull that off.
Yo, that's cool. I like that.
Right? Number two, Ori and the Will of the Wisps has gone gold. This is from Ori's Twitter. Ori and the Will of the Wisps has gone gold. A big congratulations to Moon Studio and the entire team. Unravel Ori's destiny on March 11th by pre-ordering the gorgeous collector's edition from your favorite retailers. Hashtag Ori the game. So I feel like this is good news because we've gotten a lot of delays recently. And so
a lot of delays. I mean, including Ori.
Did it get delayed?
Ori was one of the first ones to get delayed.
Really?
Yeah, at the Game Awards, I want to say.
Was it or, from
No,
February?
It was Inside Xbox when they did that November thing.
It was supposed to come out originally in February, yeah. Right? Okay, that's what I thought. So when I read March, I was
back,
like, interesting.
Pushed back a month unceremoniously. But, hey, man, whatever, dude. Like, it sucks. Delays always suck to hear about, and it sucks to deal with and whatever. But, like, this is – it's – the game's – it's gold now.
Yeah.
It's coming. Yeah. Every sign points to this being a fantastic experience.
Yeah, so I'm
really
excited
about
it.
Did you play the first one?
No.
It's good,
no,
man.
You didn't
give it a shot at all?
I started it, but it's one of those things where I bought an Xbox One in like 2016, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And Ori was one of the games that came with it. And I also got Rare Replay and a couple other games.
Say no more.
And I was like, oh, Rare Replay. And I just got, and that was the only thing I played for probably the first few months that I had an Xbox. Just going through Banjo-Kazooie and Jet Force Gemini and all my favorite games.
Totally get it. But the thing with Ori, are you a Metroidvania guy at all?
I can be. I think it's game by game for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not. If you told me that a game is Metroidvania, I'm not all like, oh, let's go. But, you know, I do enjoy some Metroidvanias.
Yeah. I'm excited for this one because I feel like the first one at least added a lot of very unique things to the genre, and least of which being a beautiful, beautiful art style that we haven't really seen before.
Mm.
Like, I feel like Metroidvania's kind of got stuck in a rut in the last 5-6 years of all of them kind of looking just like the old same. School pixel-based things. And then we started seeing in the last couple years a bit of a different branch out, like with things like Hollow Knight and mm-hmm. and I think Ori going in a different direction and really kind of like using the power of the Xbox in a unique way. So I'm very excited to play through this guy.
I think my friend Rihanna is a huge Ori fan, and so shout out to that. Shout out to her. Number three, the industry is becoming more diverse and more developers support inclusion efforts. This is by Rebecca Valentine of GamesIndustry.biz, and it's a huge article. I try to cut down as much as I can, but I highly recommend people go to GamesIndustry.biz, check out the full article, because there is a lot of information there, and even the information that I cut down is still a lot, and so I'm going to read through it, and we can talk about it. In an IGDA developer survey, 85% of developers said that diversity in the games industry was important. The IGDA has released the results of the 2019 Developer Satisfaction Survey, which showed growing industry support for diversity initiatives from the last survey in 2017. 1,116 people were surveyed, most of whom were primarily game developers, though others were included who make games as a small portion of their work or who work in roles supportive of game creation. Of those surveyed, the demographic breakdown showed a majority of North American participants, 60%, alongside smaller groups of respondents in Europe, 20%, Australia and Oceania, 8%, Asia, 8%, South and Central America and the Caribbean, 4%, and Africa, 1%. Respondents were mostly male, 71%, and white, 81%, and 79% identified as heterosexual. 28% reported having a disability, with the most common specified being a mental illness, but the next common was visual impairment. Though the results of the survey paint a not especially diverse picture of the industry, or at least a largely North American representative portion of the industry, IGDA notes that representation of women in the industry has increased in recent years to 24%. Additionally, the survey indicated that the overall average age of game developers is slowly increasing, suggesting that developers feel secure staying in the industry for longer than in the past. Furthermore, more developers feel that diversity is important and support efforts to promote it. 83% said they felt diversity in the workplace was very or somewhat important, and 85% said the same for diversity in the games industry as a whole. Both of those numbers are up from past years, with responses at 63% and 66% respectively in 2015. Additionally, 57% said they felt that the industry had increased in diversity. Only 3% said they felt the industry was becoming less diverse, a number that's been consistent in surveys over the past 3 years. I'm going to take a drink of water because there's a mouthful.
It's a lot to take in.
Mm-hmm. IGDA asked developers about various workplace policies toward increasing diversity and equality, and 8% of respondents said their studio had none of the policies listed. That's down from 14% in 2017. Policies included, quote, general non-discrimination policy, which 71% said their studio had, an equal opportunity hiring policy, 61%, and a policy prohibiting sexual harassment, 64%. Additionally, 21% said their workplace had a safe space policy, and 16% said they had a retention measurement process. However, only 59% of respondents said they felt the policies in place were adequately enforced. In fact, 49% said they had experienced some kind of workplace inequity directed at themselves, while 64% said they had perceived inequity toward others. They had perceived inequity toward others. And so the article goes on to break down even more numbers, including stats about crunch and employment strategies. But it's a long read, so again, check out gamesindustry.biz for all of those breakdowns. Tim, do you have any thoughts on a lot of these? There's a lot of numbers here.
I think they're all good numbers. Yeah. Though, right? Like, right? I feel like we're seeing a trend that is moving in the right direction, in a positive direction. And none of these necessarily surprise me, but they do make me happy to see that, like, there's some things being cut, like, in half even in terms of the bad stuff. How do you feel, though? Like, do you, taking these numbers aside, being a student of the industry at this point, understanding, like, being around developers, being around media people, how do you feel things have changed in the last couple of years?
I feel like things have gotten better. I feel like there have been more and more and more discussions about diversity and how to include people and the importance of including people, right? Like, you know, having, like, I feel like f- for a while, right, there have been discussions about, yeah, like, there's not that many black characters, you know, being represented well in video games. There's not that many women characters being represented well, right? There's not that many trans characters, like, period, in video games, right? Like, and you can look at all the different sorts of different types of representation and make the case that, yeah, like, games aren't representing people well, right? Like, you see a lot of the same types of characters in video games. And I feel like the conversation sort of led towards the idea that if we want to fix this, we have to hire diversely, right? We have to hire different types of people that know how to depict these characters, that can be able to, like, speak from the heart about how these characters behave and act and look and all this different stuff, right? And so, like, I feel like even recently, I think there's a game, Temtem, that just came out. It's like the Pokemon MMO. And, you know, I was watching a Twitter video on it, and somebody was pointing out that, like, oh, yeah, like, look at the different hairstyles. Like, there are actual hairstyles that reflect black hair in a way that you don't really get well in video games.
In character creation.
Yeah, in character creation tools. Like, character creation tools for black characters historically are pretty terrible.
You get an,
like,
afro, you don't get an afro.
Yeah, you get an afro, and sometimes you don't even get, like, a buzz cut, right?
Yeah, it's usually afro or it's dreads.
Yeah, or dreadlocks, right? You have, like, two or three options, right? But Temtem, from what I can tell, I don't know how many options Temtem has, but, you know, I saw a few of the options, and they looked pretty creative as far as giving you options to mess with your hair, right? And that one thing alone might seem like a very small thing, but I think it goes a very long way into including more players and making a game, like, for me specifically, like, you know, feel more robust and better to experience and play, right? Like, and that's just character creation tools. Like, feed that out into, like, ways characters behave in games, ways characters look, ways characters interact with each other culturally. Like, I remember Mafia 3 coming out, and people were surprised by how well that game tackled some of how the character would speak to other characters, right? Or speak to other black characters versus how they would speak to white characters in the game, given the time period and the culture that game came out in, or the setting that game came out in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like things are getting better. I feel like people are learning. You know, of course, like, I think there's always room to grow, but yeah. I think with where we're at, like, I'm glad to see that these numbers seem to be getting higher and higher in terms of people feeling like, oh yeah, like, things are getting better. Like, only 3% said that, you know, they feel like things aren't getting better.
And it's the same three, not the same people, but, like, there was 3% before as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like interesting that number stay consistent, but the other number is kind of, like, you know, moving the right direction. I do think that with many things, it's just an education process. And
yeah.
Like, it's even hearing what you just described about hairstyles. I'm sure so many people haven't ever thought about that before, but now are like, oh, okay, I see that point.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so many people that are on the wrong side of history, whether or not they intend to be, they hear things of, like, oh man, like, does every video game protagonist need to be a woman? And it's like they're missing the point of the deeper nuances of what that means. And I feel like you do need to push through this, like, moments of, like, yeah, we might see a couple female protagonists in a row, but when you still look at the breakdown of how often that actually happens, it's not at all a majority, right? But you need to have these moments to kind of push through to be able to have the nuanced conversations of, like, all right, they're not equal, they're not the same just because they're women, they're not all the same thing. There's different things being added to each of these games, in the same way that you're talking about even the hairstyles and stuff like that. It's like these small things that actually add up to a much larger whole.
Yeah, like, it's not at all about, like, eliminating white characters, right? Or eliminating male characters, or eliminating, like, certain types of characters, or it's not about forcing in other different types of characters, right? It's about representing well, right? It's about being reflective of, like, the reality that we live in, that there are different types of people in the world, and making sure that games kind of reflect that, and that games are for everybody, which I think is a really exciting thing. Like, tell me why the Don't Nod game is coming out and tell me why is the name of the game, right? I'm not saying but, you know, the game Tell Me Why by Don't Nod is coming out, I believe, this year, I think this summer, right? And it features, I think, the main character being a trans character, and just the announcement of that game alone made waves. And, you know, the way in which they kind of tackled in their statements of being like, oh yeah, no, we're working with people to make sure this character is represented well, you know, that alone is making people feel super, super included, and is making waves. And so I think, you know, whatever you can do to do that and make waves and make people feel included and give reason, give reasons for different types of people to play your game, I think all that's a good thing. And
absolutely.
So it's exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Untitled Goose Game devs commit 1% of all future earnings to Australian indigenous groups. I'm pulling this from James O'Connor over at GameSpot.
People wanted to hate on the goose, say he's a little troublemaker, but now look, he's doing good. He's doing good for the world.
Here's the thing, I'm one of the haters. Yeah. I never understood the goose game. But like the goose game keeps doing cool things, and so like I can't really hate anymore.
Am I on my way to 100%ing that game?
Are you really?
I'm real close.
Honk honk, baby.
January 26th in Australia is officially called Australia Day, a public holiday meant to celebrate the arrival of the British First Fleet in 1788. It's the date that the British sovereignty was declared, and as such, it's also a day of mourning for many Indigenous Australians, as it marks the beginning of British rule and a period of history where numerous atrocities were committed. Reparations have never been provided, and land rights were never ceded. In the wake of January 26, 2020, one Australian developer has pledged to take part in the, quote, Pay the Rent initiative, which asks people to pledge a portion of their income to Indigenous groups on a regular basis. House House, the developer of Untitled Goose Game, and Push Me, Pull You, I didn't know they made another game, Push Me, Pull You, will give at least 1% of all their earnings going forward to Indigenous groups. And this is pulled from House House's Twitter. They tweet out two
which
tweets.
Is house
right?
underscore house, house underscore.
Yeah, house underscore house underscore. Their first tweet says, our video games are made on stolen Wurundjeri. I hope I'm pronouncing that remotely correctly. Wurundjeri land. We at House House will be paying at least 1% of our income to Indigenous groups in perpetuity as part of the Pay the Rent movement. We'd encourage others to do the same, and then they provide a link, which is paytherent.net.au. Their second tweet states, as a start, we're giving to the Wurundjeri Tribe Council, Warriors of Aboriginal Resistance, and at Seed Mob. If you're a settler living and working on Aboriginal land like we are, please consider paying the rent. The article continues, the land of the Wurundjeri Tribe covers what is now known as the northern suburbs of Melbourne, Victoria. Prior to colonization, there were around 300 unique Indigenous nations. To date, Untitled Goose Game has sold over 1 million copies. If it continues to sell well in 2020, 1% a month could be a substantial contribution. Another really cool story.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Good on them, man.
Good on them.
Goose it up.
That's awesome. There's been like quite a few stories for like this month of developers doing cool things, right? There are the stories earlier in the month about developers donating proceeds to the wildfires, right? And so it's always cool to see developers using their power for good,
mm-hmm.
right? And House House is an indie developer, and so that's even cooler.
Yep.
Number five, Dauntless Studio, acquired by Singapore-based company, based games company, Garena. This is from Patrick Shanley of The Hollywood Reporter.
Interesting.
Is it? Because I
The Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is interesting. Because like I read the news story, and I'm going to read it again, but like, you know, Greg included it, which is why I'm including it in the breakdown. But I read it and I was like, I don't know what to take away from this. But to go into the story, Garena, a Singapore-based game developer and publisher owned by consumer internet company C Limited, has acquired Canadian independent game studio Phoenix Labs, the developer of 2019 role-playing game Dauntless. Founded in 2014 in Vancouver by game development veterans from Riot Games and BioWare, Phoenix Labs launched Dauntless, its debut game, last year and quickly amassed 5 million players over its first week of early access release. The studio currently has more than 100 employees with offices in Vancouver, San Francisco, and Seattle. Garena was an early investor in Phoenix Labs. The companies declined to share financial specifics of the deal. The team at Phoenix Labs and Garena will continue to support Dauntless as well as explore, quote, new opportunities in global markets and on mobile. Quote, our partners at Garena have been our most steadfast supporters since the early days of Phoenix Labs, and we are excited to join forces with a global games leader, said Jesse Houston, CEO and co-founder of Phoenix Labs. Quote, with this next step, we're able to ensure that we can provide the best possible experience for Dauntless players around the world. And so, congrats, Dauntless, on the acquisition or being acquired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is good news. I was trying to like Google around to get a little bit more info on Garena, and everything that I'm seeing, you know, I don't want to jump to conclusions here, but I'm seeing a lot of microtransactions, a lot of mobile game bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of battle royale cash-in type stuff.
Yeah. C, what's it called? C Limited or whatever the company is called, the Garena.
C-Limited. C-Limited.
Yeah,
C-Limited. Consumer internet company.
You know, not knowing anything about them, like never hearing the name before, I was like, probably some like mobile.
You sound
like,
bad.
Yeah, you sound like
you sound like
yeah, I sound like
the bad guys in a James Bond movie.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, hopefully
maybe
Dauntless
Mission
doesn't
Impossible.
go down. Yeah, maybe Mission Impossible. Maybe Dauntless doesn't go down the road of Nickel and Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we shall see.
We shall see.
We'll stay tuned. And then last story, number six, Xbox Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus games for February have been revealed.
And they are bangers, at least
some
of them.
Oh, some of them are.
Yeah.
Half of them are.
Enough of them are.
On the Xbox side of things, we have TT Isle of Man, and that's February 1st, February 29th. Call of Cthulhu. Oh,
by the way,
leap year.
Yeah. We'll have more leap years this decade than any ever before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, than any ever before? Call of Cthulhu available February 16th to March 15th. Fable Heroes available February 1st to 15th, and that's on both Xbox One and Xbox 360. Oh, I see what's going on here. It's the split thing between 360 and one. And then Star Wars Battlefront available from 16th to 29th, and that's the
OG.
That's
dude.
The OG Star
that's
Wars
the
Battlefront,
Xbox
the great one.
Star Wars yeah. Battlefront,
and that's available on both Xbox One and Xbox 360 Games with Gold. And here's
that's
the thing,
cool one, man.
Battlefront 2 is way better, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's hard for me to get excited because I'm like, I could just get Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
But
still it's
cool.
Still cool.
On the PlayStation side of things, we have Bioshock
the
collection, right?
There you go, man.
What a grab. We have also The Sims 4, which mm-hmm. is also another mm-hmm. great one if you're a Sims fan. And then we have Firewall Zero Hour for VR.
Which you have PSVR.
Yeah.
Right? There
which
you
is
go.
Awesome.
That's one of Kevin's favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
Right?
You love Firewall Zero Hour.
Honestly, like, Tim, have you played it?
No.
You need to play it because it's good. Like, it is, you play it and you're like, oh shit, this is the future of video games.
Kevin, can we play sometime? I have it. I tried it, but I've never had anybody to play with. And so I just, like, I've dropped off.
I'd be very excited to
do
that.
Dude, let's do it, man. It'd be great
but
for
me. We keep talking about playing games, but we're not doing it yet. You
That's
know
true.
What I mean?
I'll, when yeah. I jump into GTA Online next, I'll hit you up.
All right.
But
I'll
we also
ready.
Have to play Firewall because that'll be great PSLW content.
Dude. I love that game so much, and I feel like that's one that we could, because you need a four-man team, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's one we could grab Miller and bring him into it.
Oh,
know?
100%.
Wow.
We can make it happen.
Wow. I can't wait to see you and Kevin play video games together, but yeah. Bless, that seems like it's so far away.
Tim, if I wanted to know where I could go to find out what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we have Coffee Talk for Switch, PC, and Mac. And that's the one Greg was talking a lot about on PSLW XOXO. He thinks very highly of it. I'm thinking about trying it out. And so,
I like coffee. I like talking.
Yeah, dude. And you do both those things.
Doing both right now.
You talk a lot, and you also make coffee in Coffee Talk. We also have Lode Runner Legacy for PS4, Music Racer for PS4 and Xbox One, which is one that I have to play for PSLW XOXO. Spoilers for PSLW XOXO if you haven't listened yet. Top Run for PS4, Horse Farm for Switch.
Horse Farm.
Demon Heart Hunters for PC, Mortal Glory for PC, The Pedestrian for PC. What are the PC players doing?
What y'all up to?
What are y'all up to? Is this what
hey,
y'all
man.
Do? I'm going to play The Pedestrian. It's like the opposite of Grand Theft Auto.
While you play Pedestrian, I'll play Void Space.
Void Space is also coming out for PC. These are all PC-ass games.
Yep. Say no more.
New dates. Motion Twin is very surprised to announce that the Bad Seed DLC for Dead Cells now has an official release date. February 11th, 2020. Play two extra levels with new weapons, enemies, mechanics, and a boss. It's $4.99 on PC and consoles.
I saw the trailer for this today, and I was just like, my God, this game looks like it has evolved so much.
Really?
From when
dude,
I played
did
it.
You? Oh, so you did play a lot
I
of
played
Cells.
The hell out of
dude,
it. I
same.
Never beat it, man.
I got
did you
to,
beat it?
I know. I got to the last area, and I could never. That last area is hard.
Dude, I played that game for probably 20 hours total,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I was going to do it. I thought that I had a chance. It was like three different flights there and back that mm-hmm. I played. And man, it was so fun. It was so fantastic. But
yeah,
God, it just beat me
I
down.
Loved my time with Dead Cells.
Nick
yeah.
almost beat it. He didn't
Oh
know.
My God. Dude, there's something about roguelites. When they hit the right way, they just hook you. The same thing happened to me with Rogue Legacy.
It was the first one I ever played, and I fell in love with it. Like
yeah.
a week ago or so, somebody asked us on this show, like, what are games that we like got hooked on their genre we don't normally like, and mm-hmm. I was saying Fire Emblem. Dead Cells is actually like a more modern example for me, where I would have never thought I'd like that type of game. But.
Yeah, that the gameplay loop is almost like near perfect mm-hmm. of like going in and you're repeating over and over again. But like it's that feeling of
one more, just one more.
Like this is the run. Like this is the run where I can get it. And even when it's not the run, you're still collecting resources and collecting things that you can then use as permanent upgrades. So you feel like you're always. You feel like you're always getting better in terms of skill and in terms of your unlockables.
Yeah.
Which might be like the one issue I had with Dead Cells is that at a certain point I felt like I wasn't progressing enough in terms of the unlockables. Like I hit a wall where I was like, I don't know what to upgrade anymore.
Yeah.
And like that last area. Mm. Like I forgot what the thing was. Were the enemies healing or something? I forget what it was.
It got to a point, like there were certain levels in it where I was just like, how are we not gonna just die the first time we play this?
Oh.
And
yeah.
It's just like that's so upsetting when we're 45 minutes into this run.
Yeah.
You know? But I get that that's the loop.
Yeah, like that's the name of the game. That I just remember that last area specifically like pissing me off. And one day I'd like to beat it, you know, and I looked at the trailer too and I was like, man, this game, I want to get back to it. Dude. It's what a good time. Mm. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by G.I. Joe War on Cobra. I'm going to take a drink of water.
Cobra.
Because I'm having the Greg thing where Greg talks about drinking coffee and his mouth gets dry and it's hard to read. I'm having that with the tea.
Ooh.
I'm having that with the tea, Ooh. And so I'm going to take a drink of water.
That's the tea.
That's the tea. Do you ever drink tea?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of mint herbal. You know what I mean? I'm a big fan of mint in general.
Mint tea is great.
I'm a big fan of liquids. I just like drinking liquids.
Yeah.
So give me some tea.
Yo, Joe, G.I. Joe, and Cobra are back in G.I. Joe War on Cobra. Will you join forces? Will you join the Joes and fight for justice? Or will you seek world domination with Cobra? The choice is yours. G.I. Joe War on Cobra is a free download and out now for both Android and iOS devices. Whether you're a fan of the classic animated series, the iconic toy line, comics, or all the above, G.I. Joe War on Cobra has something for everyone. It has a massive roster featuring the most beloved and infamous heroes, villains, and vehicles featured in the series. Nick grew up wanting to be a Joe, and Greg always wanted to scream like a Cobra commander. Yeah, once you've chosen your side, players will be introduced to the game's mechanics via Roadblock for Joes or Baroness for Cobra. You'll learn how to manage your base, units, vehicles, and engage in battles to help you get a feel for managing your troops. As you continue with the single-player campaign missions, more options for reinforcing your army with additional units, heroes, and vehicles begin to open up. But that's just the beginning. G.I. Joe War on Cobra also features PvP and a ranked leaderboard. You'll need to fight hard for your faction, build out and defend your base strategically, and master the art of directing troops to conquer your foes. And in no time, you'll be an expert on making attacks from air, land, and see.
Go, Joe.
While you're here, we have a special in-game gift from D3Go. As a token of appreciation for checking out G.I. Joe War on Cobra, we're giving away 2 free characters for all new players to help reinforce your army. Joes can look forward to picking up a free Bazooka, the G.I. Joe missile specialist, while Cobra followers can add Missile BAT, the Battle Android Trooper, to their squad.
I hope they add Snowjob at some point.
Is Snowjob a thing in G.I. Joe?
Snowjob's one of the characters.
Oh, man. What a great cast of characters. In the meantime, don't forget that, quote, knowing is half the battle. Check out the description below or head to www.d3go.com/kfgames to download G.I. Joe War on Cobra and receive your free gift for your mobile device.
My VHS copy of Transformers the movie, the original one, had a like trailer before it of G.I. Joe the movie.
Oh yeah,
but it wasn't necessarily a trailer. It was just the opening of the movie, and it was just like it felt more musical than anything. And it's like them on the Statue of Liberty.
I remember watching that movie and being like, "This is great. I loved it." Yeah. I forget how old I was.
Bring this up.
Is that Snowjob?
That's our boy Snowjob, voiced by none other than Rob Paulsen.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, no Ash Paulson's dead?
Yeah.
Wild, man.
Yep. What a small world.
When I learned that, I almost freaked out.
Me too.
Because I listened to so much Game Explained, and I didn't know it until he came on this show.
Well, what blew my mind is we had Rob Paulsen on our show.
Yeah,
on
that too. Show.
We've known him. We know his voice like very well. Mm-hmm. And I was hanging out with Ash for the first time in New York at a Smash event. And like we're talking, he was like, all of a sudden, I'm like, I've listened to you so often, but something's up. He's like, oh yeah, my dad is a voice actor. That's probably what you're thinking. I was like, oh my God. When I said that, I didn't expect to actually get an answer.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, Rob Paulsen's my dad. I'm like,
Wild.
Wild.
A small world.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Hood is our next sponsor. 2020 is the perfect time to start thinking about 2040. With Robinhood, you can invest in the markets and earn interest with a competitive APY on uninvested cash. They make it easy to get started and learn as you grow with an intuitive app experience, no commission fees on trades. And stock prices don't have to hold you back. You can buy a piece of a company you love for as low as $1 and build your portfolio a little at a time. Buy one share, buy half a share, 3 1/4 shares. It's up to you, your budget, and your goals. Your first stock is on the house when you set up your account. Go to games.robinhood.com to learn more and claim your free stock. Annual percentage yield, that's APY, on uninvested cash is paid by program banks and is variable. Robinhood Financial is not a bank. The free stock, the free stock offer is subject to terms and conditions. All investment involves risks, other fees may apply. Visit rbnhd.co.fees. Marcus Hutchins writes in and says, hey guys,
Marcus Hutchins,
it's 2020. Let's assume we're entering a new decade of dreams.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being very likely, how likely do you think it is we see new games in these dormant franchises this decade? So we're going to go through them one by one. All right. Scale of 1 to 5. How likely is it we see another entry in these in the next decade? Crash Bandicoot.
5.
I'm also with you. I'm at 5. We have to get a new Crash Bandicoot.
Mm-hmm.
The collection sold
too well to not make a sequel.
Very well.
And they're out of things to remake of consequence.
I mean, they could remake the Crash
Bash.
Oh, actually, I wasn't going to Crash
they
Bash.
They don't do that.
They're not gonna do that. I'll like it because I remember loving that demo.
That demo with the pogo sticks?
Yeah, the Let's pogo sticks. Go. I had a demo of that and Spyro. I forget it was like a Pizza Hut thing or what, but
yeah, Spyro Year of the Dragon.
Yes,
you get the skateboard.
Yes,
fantastic.
I loved it.
There you go.
Knights of the Old Republic. I'm at a 3.
4.
4.
4.
Interesting. Fable.
Oh my god.
I'm at a 4.
I'm gonna fucking say 5, doggy dog. Let's go.
You have complete confidence. Yeah. It's happening.
I mean, I would have had complete confidence this gen.
Fair.
But that's why I was going to say 4, but like it has to be 5. Mm. Like they have to be making a Fable game.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Ugh.
I'm at a 2.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater?
Like a new entry in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Like
now,
I'm going to say 1.
Okay.
A new Tony Hawk skateboarding game? 4.
Really?
Yeah. Tony wasn't happy with 5, and not
many
people.
Nobody was.
I just like playing as Lil Wayne, though. It's just so funny.
That is funny.
He's a playable character.
That is funny. I'm going to go 2 for Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and I'm going to say 3 for a new Tony Hawk game. Metal Gear Solid. It's an interesting one.
It is interesting. Ah.
They put out Survive.
Yeah, they did. I'm going to say 3.
Here's the thing. I want to believe that we get a remake of some sort.
If it's a remake, it's gonna be Blue Point, I think. Like I don't see.
You don't think they develop because like
doing it themselves.
But they have that engine though, you know,
the Fox engine,
and like they only made Metal Gear Solid with it, right? And I guess like they made and Survive, and I think they made the sports games Pro Evo using it.
I don't know.
I want to say I'm not positive. Kind of funny.com/you're wrong. Man. Yeah, dude. And I feel like, making a new or remaking. Metal Gear Solid 1 or Metal Gear Solid 3 or like literally remake any of them in that engine, you know, with those systems.
I don't think it's that easy because, it's the systems. Like, you need somebody that actually knows how to, like, make games there.
Yeah, true.
Right?
I'm going to say 3.
I'm sticking with 3, right in the middle there.
Prince of Persia.
Ah, my heart. 1.
Yeah, I'm going to say 2.
I want it
Ubisoft owns Prince of Persia, right?
Yeah.
Ubisoft, they make interesting decisions sometimes.
They do.
Like, Beyond Good and Evil 2, who could have seen that coming?
I mean, who's going to see it coming? I don't know. Like, I don't think that they make weird decisions anymore. Like, I feel like their decisions are fairly understandable. And every once in a while, they'll add a new little wrinkle to that. Like, no one could have possibly seen Mario plus Rabbids coming, but that just happened. But it's like, now it's like, all right, cool, weird Nintendo collaborations. That seems possible. We saw the Star Fox stuff in I forgot the name of the game, Star Force Legends or whatever.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I forget what it's called too.
but
the toy game.
Yeah, I just don't believe.
F-Zero.
God, you're just twisting a knife into my heart.
Yeah. I'm gonna say five.
I'm gonna be five.
Yeah, dude. Because, like, how dormant can that franchise be? Like, I feel like they're, I feel like they got to give it a shot.
I mean, I agree.
Like, by 2030, if we don't get a new F-Zero game.
Ever play F-Zero GX on GameCube?
No.
What a fantastic video game. It is so good. Looks beautiful to this day. Mm. Story mode, hard as nails. And cool, interesting stuff that they were doing. That was a collaboration with Sega. And I'm so, like, Nintendo was weird back then. Mm-hmm. They were just like, hey, Capcom, we're going to partner with you on Zelda games. We're going to partner with you for Star Fox. Hey, what's up, Sega? Like, you can get F-Zero. Mm-hmm. Sure. Nintendo just doesn't do that anymore, at least not on that scale. F-Zero, I don't know, man. Like, I'm shocked we haven't seen one on 3DS at the very least, mm-hmm. right? There was a couple entries on Game Boy Advance, and then it's just been gone.
I feel like they're going to make an F-Zero game this decade, but I feel like it'll be like a smaller game. Like, it'll be like a B-tier Nintendo game.
I'm fine.
Like,
I'd be fine with that, man. I'll take F-Zero in any form I can get it at this point. Because
I could see it being made at that Mario Tennis Aces tier.
Yeah.
You know, or like I don't think it'll be like a big Nintendo game by any means.
I'm going to say two.
Mm. Pikmin.
Five.
Five, yeah. Castlevania. Does it even matter? Because, like, we have other... I feel like we've come so far with Metroidvanias that, like... And we got, like, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. Like, I know people would love a new Castlevania, but with where Konami's at right now...
That's the thing. Konami's in such a weird place that I feel like it's hard to predict things. I feel like at some point in our lives, we're going to see a Symphony of the Night remake. I just don't know when that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to say two.
A Symphony of the Night remake in the Fox Engine.
Oh, my God. Why?
It's a shiny-looking pixels. Sly Cooper. So one for me.
One.
Yeah, because who's going to develop it? Sly Cooper, actually, who owns Sly Cooper, like the IP? Is that PlayStation or is that Insomniac? Or not Insomniac, sorry, Sucker Punch.
I mean, it's one and the same, right?
Fair. Yeah, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, it's owned by Sucker Punch, which is owned by Sony. So, yeah, I just don't see it happening.
NBA Street.
Fuck. Who wrote this list?
I don't know, man. It sounds like it was written by
Marcus Hutchins. Goddamn, man.
It sounds like a
NBA
list
Street
I made.
Unfortunately, won. Ah. Can you imagine if Blue Point was doing an NBA Street Volume 2 remake?
Oh, my God.
Give me that. With the entire soundtrack, which, by the way, is only like six songs.
They did play a lot of the same songs in that soundtrack. But
all of them were classic, though. Troy, dude. Oh, they're reminiscing over you.
Oh, my God. That soundtrack is classic.
So good.
But I'm going to say two. But yeah, I'm gonna say two, because like I feel like we got that FIFA Street game late in the PS3,
yeah,
and we also got SSX, like I guess it was just called SSX, I think.
Yeah, God, late that in the game PS3 came and went.
Yeah, and they
remember like, the first trailer for that game?
No, I remember the demo.
They had machine guns.
Did they really?
Dude, unless I'm having some weird fever dream, like I swear to God, when they first revealed the reboot of SSX,
mm-hmm.
that was like for last gen.
Yeah,
it was like them in a helicopter with machine guns, and then they jumped out of the thing with guns. Keep talking. I'm going to look for this.
Yeah, that's very obscure. But, yeah, that's the last one he says. And then out of these, what would you want to see? Any I didn't mention you want more. Love the show. Keep the dream alive, Marcus. Out of all these, which one would I want the most? Probably Metal Gear Solid, followed by NBA Street. Because what we have: Crash Bandicoot, Knights of the Old Republic, Fable, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Metal Gear Solid, Prince of Persia, F-Zero, Pikmin, Castlevania, Sly Cooper, NBA Street. So yeah, it would be Metal Gear Solid for me. I would love a new Metal Gear Solid game. But the thing is, like the reality of how a new Metal Gear Solid game gets made and comes out, like I don't know if I trust Konami to really fulfill that in the way that NBA Street. Just give me slop and I'll eat it up, man. You know.
Yeah, for me, number one's Prince of Persia, and number two would be Metal Gear Solid.
Mm. Did you find this machine gun trailer?
I didn't. Maybe I made it up.
But what a wild time where they tried to bring back like the EA Sports big games.
Yeah.
And they just flopped.
Okay.
Like I swear to God, I'm probably the only person that played that FIFA Street game for PS3. Because playing it, I was like, I can't believe this is a game. This is a weird version of what was once great. Yeah,
totally.
Let's see here. Lee Polero writes in and says, so Patapon 2 has a release date and caused quite the celebration at Kind of Funny. However, when Patapon 2 was recently leaked, it was leaked along with the Final Fantasy VII demo. So, where is the FF7 demo? Do you think it will be released soon? Will it release on the former release day of March 3rd, 2020? Or will it release when the game releases? Would love to know your thoughts. Thank you.
We're going to see this demo. Mm-hmm. I don't know when. I don't think it'll be when either March 3rd or when the game actually releases. I think it'll be somewhere just random.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be earlier or after March 3rd?
Earlier. I think the demo's before the game comes out.
Man, I feel like it has. I feel like for sure it's happening, given like the whole Patapon came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and so for that game to come out of nowhere and for that,
that's actually a really solid point.
Yeah, for it to be leaked alongside Final Fantasy VII, like, or the Final Fantasy VII demo, I feel like all but confirms that that thing exists when we see it.
Well, I mean, we know it exists. Like, it leaked. Like,
yeah,
it didn't just leak that like it exists. Like, you can watch the whole demo on YouTube right now.
Oh,
like people hacked it to play it. Like,
gotcha.
Yeah, like that shit is real.
I think the fact that Patapon is out, I feel like means that demo might be imminent. And so I'm gonna say February or March. I would say March 3rd at the latest. We see it. That's where I'm at.
At the latest, I get that. Kev, I just sent assets a video.
Now it's time to squad up. Mr. Mitch George writes in and says, good day, Bless Geddes. Today is Bell Let's Talk Day. For every tweet or retweet of the hashtag Bell Let's Talk on Twitter, Bell, the Canadian telecom giant, will donate to Canadian mental health initiatives. The tweet or retweet does not have to come from a Canadian to help Canadians. If everyone can go to either my Twitter or any tweet using the hashtag Bell Let's Talk and simply retweet it, it will be appreciated. Thanks, and keep spreading that positivity and the occasional toilet toad. Jesus, Mitch's Twitter is at Mr. Mitch George, if you want to go over there and retweet that. Oh, Deadly Descents. Yeah. Wait, is that the name of the...
Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen, from what I can gather right now, is they originally revealed the game as SSX Deadly Descents in 2010, and then in 2011 they re-revealed it as just SSX. I don't know if I made up the gun part, but let's watch this.
I vaguely remember this.
See, though, like, this is such a weird vibe for SSX.
Yeah. And they did the same thing to FIFA Street. I can't remember the trailer treatment, but it was like a more serious vibe to it. What an interesting thing. So, yeah, they're diving out the plane. I don't see guns yet. God. When games had to be gritty.
Like, how do you go from SSX tricky to eventually do this? Oh, hear it. Do it, dude. Do it. There he goes.
Oh, yeah, because that was the thing. Was like the flying.
All right, so there wasn't guns, but you can imagine why
I can understand why you make that leap. Because, yeah, that thing was deadly serious. It looked like it was going on a James Bond mission.
Oh, man.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Let's see what we got wrong. Today is the 29th. I got to start deleting some of these things. Let's see here. Donkey Kong is a gorilla, not a monkey.
Hey, I got to be honest with you. You should just be happy I didn't call him a donkey.
Fair. Bob's writes in and says, it's also worth noting at the ending of God of War 3 where Kratos... Well, actually, I'm not going to read about the ending of a game. Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah, but like... It's remastered on the PS4. Like, if people really wanted to play it, they could go play it. Let's see. Starlink, Battle for Atlas, by the way, it was that game.
Yeah, Starlink, yes, that's right. Borzen00 says Pro Evolution Soccer does use the Fox engine since 2014.
Haha. It's weird how, like, we retain such random knowledge about things. Like, why did I know that? Sly Cooper stuff, which I don't know if it's wrong. Let's see. We got more clarification about the Final Fantasy demo, which we actually did clarify on the show.
That's it, man.
Yeah, it looks like there's a lot of stuff written in, but it looks like it's stuff that we clarified or got right.
We nailed it, motherfuckers.
We nailed it.
Deal with that.
Yeah. Tomorrow's hosts are Tim and Ray Narvaez.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, so get hype about that. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.